This is the weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of January 4th, 2020.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 4th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We will lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. I hope you enjoyed the four-day weekend and properly welcomed in year 2021. We at JLN wish you a happy new year. We shall always remember last year best, or at least with 2020 vision. While we were popping champagne and wearing silly hats to welcome in the new year, Bitcoin continued its ascent to new highs, trading over $34,000 in the early hours of January 3rd. The number of COVID-19 cases has also been on a tear, with a new high of 291,000 cases on January 2nd, and now over 85 million cases worldwide, and over 20 million in the U.S. In other New Year news, I wanted to share the new prices for JLN subscriptions for 2021. An individual subscription is going up for the first time in 5 years to $200 per reader from the $175 per reader. Enterprise subscriptions are being raised from $125 to $145 per reader for firms with 5 or more subscribers. Additionally, the monthly subscription price is $17 per month per reader for those who want to be billed monthly. The cost of a week of sponsored content is $1,000 for 2021. Sponsors of MarketsWiki and John Lothian News get 1 week or more of sponsored content in their sponsorship package. The price of an email blast to the readership of JLN is also $1,000. Contact me if you're interested in learning more about sponsorship or advertising in JLN. In a first for JLN, we have a story from casino.org about Eris Exchange's pitching NFL futures contracts and targeting sportsbook hedging needs. There are 4 disciplinary actions in exchange news from the CME Group that are all related to shenanigans in the E-mini NASDAQ contract from 2018. All 4 did not answer the charges against them. All 4 were fined between $20,000 and $45,000 and banned for a period of 1 year from trading on CME-owned markets. Congratulations to CME Group's Jim Roper, who got engaged to Reverend Anna Ernst, a pastor at Epiphany Lutheran Church, which is 2 blocks from my home and where my son's Cub Scout pack was chartered and met. There have been 2 new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Robert Corey and Steve Ivey have contributed. Rob is a longtime reader of JLN, starting with his days at Getco. He is a busy man, including being the CEO of Agile Rainmakers, which he bills as a high-impact business development consulting and advisory firm that fine-tunes business ecosystems for growth and profit. Steve Ivey is the Chief Risk Officer and Executive Vice President at Rosenthal Collins Group, a division of Merrick Spectron. Thank you to Rob and Steve and to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Kelly Loeffler's Trumpian lurch shocks ex-colleagues at ICE. The former executive has reinvented herself to fight a tough challenge for a Senate seat in Georgia. Intercontinental Exchange is a $65 billion pillar of the U.S. corporate world, listing blue-chip stocks on its New York Stock Exchange and running the market that helps set the price of global crude oil. But the 20-year-old Atlanta-based company has become better known in political circles as a launchpad for Georgia's Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler, a former executive who joined ICE in its infancy and is married to the exchange's chief executive, Jeffrey Sprecher. Yes, there are shocked ex-colleagues both inside and outside of ICE. Here's a story also from the Financial Times from John Plender. Stress test looms for financial system in 2021. Volatility rises as shadow banks become a bigger provider of liquidity to markets. Be warned, the global financial system in 2021 will face a gigantic stress test. This follows from one of the more important lessons that emerged from the coronavirus-induced market turmoil in March last year, a lesson that is worth revisiting. My comment, I do not like the lead in this John Plender column at all. Be warned. If he really meant it, he would have used an exclamation point, or he should have made it a hashtag. Hashtag be warned. Or best of all, he should have put in proactive language like, be prepared. Be warned is just so sheep-like and passive. Let's start 2021 by being proactive, not passive. Here's a story from the New York Times. The cost of fighting the count. Awkward questions for companies that donated to senators planning to challenge the 2021 election results. Any remaining notions that the presidential transition would go smoothly were shattered this weekend when 11 Republican senators announced that they would not certify Joe Biden's Electoral College victory during a joint congressional session on Wednesday. At the same time, President Trump pressured Georgia's Secretary of State to, quote, find, unquote, enough votes to flip the state to him on a Saturday phone call that was recorded. That said, the prospect of a constitutional crisis hasn't rattled the markets. U.S. futures are up this morning. My comment, how much money from ICE employees is going to Senator Kelly Loeffler's campaign? And what is her stand on the challenge to the January 6th Electoral College reporting to Congress? Those are questions that are going to be asked for senators like her and others who are supporting this challenge to Joe Biden's election as president. Supporting a former colleague is admirable. Supporting insurrection is not. That is how this could end up being defined. Here's a story from The Atlantic. The mutated virus is a ticking time bomb. There is much we don't know about the COVID-19 variant, but everything we know so far suggests a huge danger. A new variant of the coronavirus is spreading across the globe. It was first identified in the United Kingdom, where it is rapidly spreading, and has been found in multiple countries. Viruses mutate all the time, often with no impact, but this one appears to be more transmissible than other variants, meaning it spreads more easily. Barely one day after officials announced that America's first case of the variant had been found in the United States, a Colorado man with no history of travel, an additional case was found in California. My comment, new year, big problems. Maybe bigger problems. Here are the top three most read stories from last Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday, December 31st, 2020, was the Financial Times, What Did Silicon Valley Crypto Bubble Create? About the blockchain startup Filecoin and others. Second was Bloomberg's Britain Budges on Derivatives in Last Minute Brexit Relief, about the FCA altering its interest rate swaps rules on a temporary basis for some European investment banks. Third was the Wall Street Journal's Hong Kong Exchange's new big boss will face Hong Kong's uncertain future as CEO Charles Lee departs the exchange without a named successor. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 5th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has ordered a third lockdown for England due to the spreading of the COVID-19 virus. This was not done to distract from the changes occurring due to Brexit. Senator Kelly Loeffler announced during a rally with President Donald Trump that she will support the challenging of the Electoral College tally on January 6th, joining some other rogue senators and congressmen who are also objecting. Also, Salon is reporting on a Loeffler campaign advertisement, which noticeably darkens the skin of her opponent, Reverend Raphael Warnock. in-person voting began this morning for the election in Georgia. A group of nearly 200 corporate CEOs are urging Congress to certify Joe Biden's Electoral College win. The editorial board of the Financial Times has an editorial titled, "A Moment of Grave Danger for U.S. Democracy. Donald Trump's effort to overturn the election are ever more desperate." This is not the New York Post offering this, but the Financial Times. Speaking of the Financial Times, they have published a report, How to Find Happiness, a 7-point plan. We could all use a little happiness right now. Here are some highlights from the CME Group's annual volume report. They had a record equity index futures and options average daily volume of 5.6 million contracts, up 63% over 2019. The CME reported record E-mini S&P futures and options average daily volume of 2.7 million contracts and record E-mini micro futures and options average daily volume of 1.8 million contracts. They also said they traded a record E-mini NASDAQ 100 futures and options with an average daily volume of 585,000 contracts. The eye-popping number in the report was the record micro E-mini equity index futures and options average daily volume of 2 million contracts, representing a 332% increase in average daily volume over fourth quarter 2019. The CME Group was not the only one with eye-popping numbers. The OCC today reported it cleared a record-setting 7.52 billion total contracts in 2020, and its December volume was the highest monthly tally in OCC's history, up 80.9% year over year. It's good to be Danish. Customers at the Danish Home Finance Unit of Nordea Bank ABP can get mortgages with 20-year loans at a fixed rate. George Harada has moved from senior tech advisor at Lab CFTC to senior tech advisor at the Federal Reserve Board. Congratulations to George on the career move. Rosenblatt Securities President Joseph Goransky is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Joe is a longtime JLN reader and friend who swears he was not doing a contribution coordination with his Princeton friend Rob Quarry. Rosenblatt Securities is an institutional agency brokerage that offers investors a range of alternative execution techniques, and it is a thought leader in electronic trading of equities. Thank you to Joe and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Matt Rabel reports aggregated open interest on Bitcoin futures reached $10.7 billion Sunday, according to The Block. Open interest on Bitcoin options also reached $7.96 billion. 82% of the volume came from Durbit. Suzanne Cosgrove reports Travis Schwab, CEO of Aventis Systems, recently sat down for an On the Brink podcast episode. Topics include market structure, trade surveillance, and the emergence of cryptocurrency exchanges. You can find a link in today's newsletter for this podcast. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From the New York Times, a cure for politician stock trades, and it wouldn't require legislation. The recent controversy over stock trading by lawmakers like Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia, who avoided significant losses by selling some shares after key meetings early in the pandemic, revived concerns about how Congress polices its members' portfolios. In his first column of the year, Andrew Ross Sorkin proposes a simple way to stop politicians trading in individual stocks. I think we have a plan here. Here is the press release from the OCC. OCC clears record-setting 7.52 billion total contracts in 2020, December volume highest month in OCC's history, up 80.9% year over year. OCC, the world's largest equity derivatives clearing organization, announced today that it had set a new annual cleared contract volume records for the U.S. exchange-listed options industry. In 2020, OCC cleared 7.52 billion total contracts and 7.47 billion option contracts. These numbers surpassed the previous record set in 2018 of 5.24 billion contracts and 5.14 billion option contracts. Compared to 2019, OCC had a 51.2% increase in total contracts cleared and a 52.4% increase in options contracts cleared. My comment, equity options trading is hot. Here is your proof. Bloomberg has a story, Slack service disrupted as people return to work after holidays. Thousands of people reported being unable to access their Slack accounts Monday when workers headed back to the virtual office after the holidays. According to the website Down Detector, which monitors service outages, more than 15,000 people complained of connection issues in places from Texas to Ukraine. Down in my home office, wrote one user on the site. My comment, we had to revert to email to communicate among the JLN team. Here's a story from the Financial Times from Mohammed El Arian. New COVID variant will increase stress on global economy and weaken inequality. Policymakers need to take more action to tackle risk that short-term problems will become embedded. As the new COVID-19 strain triggers tighter restrictions on economic activity and limits even more the movement of people, it has become increasingly clear that the road to vaccine-induced immunity will now have more potholes. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Why J.P. Morgan created the Wall Street bonus. At the turn of the 20th century, J.P. Morgan hit upon a new way to strengthen employee loyalty. Bonus season has arrived when bankers and traders take home a significant portion of their annual compensation in a single lump sum payment. It's Christmas on steroids. Or so it can seem to workers outside of finance, most of whom have to make do with a fruit basket or other conventional gifts. My question, why did J.P. Morgan create the Wall Street bonus? Here are your top three most read stories from Monday's JLN. The top story Monday was from the Financial Times. Kelly Loeffler's Trumpian lurch shocks ex-colleagues at ICE. The second most read story was from Casino.org, Eris Exchanges pitching NFL futures contracts targeting sportsbook hedging needs. And third was a feature on the new COVID-19 variant, The Atlantic's The Mutated Virus is a Ticking Time Bomb. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 6, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. There is bad news, good news for Senator Kelly Loeffler, depending on your point of view. She has lost her bid to be elected to the Senate, losing to Reverend Raphael Warnock, according to press organizations that have called the election. On the plus side, LeBron James has formed a group of investors to buy her out of her stake in the Atlanta Dream women's basketball team. The Dream was a bit of a pain in her side during the recent election, wearing t-shirts supporting her opponent. The question that arises is whether Loeffler will go back to her old job. There were some media reports that Donald Trump planned a trip to Scotland the day before the inauguration of Joe Biden as president. The story cited airport requests for landing and normal protocols that would happen for such a trip. However, the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, is quoted in a story in The Independent saying that President Trump is not welcome because of the travel restrictions around the COVID-19 outbreak. Just like everyone else. Evidently, coming to golf in Scotland is, quote, not an essential purpose. Refinitiv has plans to launch a production term Sonya benchmark on January 11, 2021. Back in July 2020, Refinitiv announced they would launch a prototype version of the same product. For some people, $600 does not seem like a lot of money. That is the amount in the recent relief bill signed into law by President Trump. But that $600 in lots of Robinhood accounts represents a lot of extra firepower for those traders. IBM has named former Goldman Sachs Gary Cohn as its vice chairman, Bloomberg reported. No more bringing your emotional support llama or any emotional support animals on American Airlines flights anymore, the airline announced. Among the strangest emotional support animals that flew on airlines, according to this 2019 story in The Sun, are ducks, ponies, turkeys, kangaroos, squirrels, pigs, hamsters, roosters, peacocks, and monkeys. So much for that trend. Sharad Kumar and James Toews are the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Sharad is a relationship manager at Aventis Systems. Sharad is part of the growing talented team at Aventis, which is trying to help traders and firms manage their spoofing risk, which was the biggest epidemic before COVID-19. Jim Toews is the president and CEO at the Security Traders Association. He is a longtime reader and friend of JLN and represents the STA with integrity and grace. Thank you to Sharad and Jim and all who have given and all those who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history and give to our GoFundMe campaign. If you would like an invoice sent for your 2021 subscription to this newsletter, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Matt Rabel reports that blockchain.com is the most recent cryptocurrency trading platform to announce that it will stop supporting trades of XRP, the digital asset created by Ripple due to Ripple's ongoing lawsuit with the SEC. Although XRP has held its position as one of the biggest digital assets by market cap for a long time, the coin and the company that makes it are really taking a beating thanks to this lawsuit. XRP's market cap has decreased so much it has been overtaken by Litecoin. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. This is from the Financial Times. Democrat Raphael Warnock wins Senate race in Georgia. John Ossoff clings to narrow lead in second contest that will decide which party controls upper chamber. Raphael Warnock became the first African-American to win a U.S. Senate seat in Georgia, as fellow Democratic contender John Ossoff clung to a narrow lead in a second contest that will decide which party controls the upper chamber of Congress. Here's a story from the New York Times. Ossoff has narrow lead over Perdue in other Georgia race. Democrats edge closer to Senate control with victory in Georgia. Second race too close to call. The Reverend Raphael Warnock beat Republican Kelly Loeffler, while the other runoff was neck and neck. President Trump's allies are planning a final attempt to subvert the election when Congress meets on Wednesday to formalize the Electoral College. The election looked a lot like the presidential election, with the Republicans taking an early lead as the results came in, but then eventually losing the lead as bigger metro areas with lots of Democratic voters arrived later. I went to bed about 11 p.m. with Warnock ahead about 35,000 votes and Ossoff behind about 2,000. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Trump advisor Cleta Mitchell resigns from law firm after Georgia call. Washington lawyer faced criticism after joining president to ask election officials to reverse Biden win. Cleta Mitchell, a Washington, D.C. lawyer who supported President Trump in making claims of election fraud, on a weekend call with the Georgia Secretary of State, resigned Tuesday from the partnership of a corporate law firm. My comment, she worked for Foley & Lardner, LLP. She will not be the last lawyer who flew too close to the sun in the recent political season. Here is a press release from Refinitiv about Sonya Refinitiv to launch production term Sonya benchmark on January 11, 2021. Today, Refinitiv announced its plan to launch the Refinitiv term Sonya benchmark on January 11, 2021. This follows the previous announcement in July 2020 that Refinitiv would launch the prototype version of the same rate. This is my comment. This will be the year of the short-term interest rate. Here are your top three most read stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was Bloomberg's Virtu moving workers to Florida as pandemic reshapes Wall Street. This is likely the first wave of a trend that will reshape major cities. Second was a cure for politicians' stock trades from the New York Times deal book about a proposed solution to the controversy over stock trades by politicians, including Senator Kelly Loeffler. And speaking of Senator Loeffler, our third story was Kelly Loeffler's new Facebook ad, Darkened Skin of Raphael Warnock, her black opponent, from Salon.com. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 7, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. On the day after his wife lost her U.S. Senate race, Jeff Sprecher was given some solace as the stock price of his firm, Intercontinental Exchange, hit an all-time high price of $116.57. It was a Jerry Seinfeld-like moment where when something bad happens, something good happens to even it out. On the day of tumult in the U.S. Capitol, the U.S. recorded the deadliest day of the pandemic to date with 3,963 deaths reported. New daily death tolls were also set in the states of New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and Pennsylvania. The New York Post reported that Mick Mulvaney resigned after the Capitol siege, saying, "I can't stay." Also, CNN reported that Stephanie Grisham, the former White House communication director and press secretary and current chief of staff for the First Lady Melania Trump, has also resigned. Also, ABC is reporting that members of the Trump cabinet are discussing invoking the 25th Amendment, according to sources. Invoking the 25th Amendment of the Constitution would remove Trump from the presidency. Japan has declared a state of emergency because of the COVID-19 outbreak, and JPX has issued a statement that trading to continue after state of emergency declaration, JPX said. Trading on all markets of the Tokyo Stock Exchange, Osaka Exchange, and Tokyo Commodity Exchange is scheduled to continue as normal on January 8th and beyond. The last time the U.S. Capitol was breached was during the War of 1812 when it was burned down, and never, even during the Civil War, was the battle flag of the Confederate States of America waved inside the building. Tom Scanlon, formerly of the CME Group, is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Tom is a longtime JLN reader who joined the CME as part of the acquisition of Next Group, where he worked as part of the BrokerTech team. He also formerly worked for the Chicago Board of Trade, where he got his start on the recommendation of Lance Murdoch, a CBOT board member. Thank you to Tom and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The Futures Industry Association, or FIA, issued a statement yesterday condemning the violence in Washington, D.C. as Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. It reads, quote, "FIA strongly condemns the violence that took place today at the U.S. Capitol and urges elected officials to unite in denouncing these actions. FIA firmly believes that the rule of law is the cornerstone of a free and democratic society and vehemently opposes any efforts to use violence to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution." That was Sarah Rudolph reporting that. Also, Sarah reports that also FIA thanked all who donated prizes and supported its online auction in December. The auction raised £7,000 for the Futures for Kids, the industry's charitable foundation that raises funds to support disadvantaged children and young people in the UK and around the world. The top auction items were bottles of Chateau Palais Cardinal Saint-Emilion Grand Cru 2015, a week-long stay on the North Cornwall coast, and the perennial giant Toblerone chocolate bar. And finally, FIA is hosting a webinar on 2020 annual trends in futures and options trading on January 27th. From 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The webinar will highlight the main trends in trading activity in 2020 in the global exchange-traded derivatives markets, with category and regional breakdowns as well as exchange and contract rankings. The moderator is FIA's Senior Vice President of Publications, Data, and Research, Will Ackworth. You can go to johnlothiannews.com in today's newsletter to find the link to register. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We published a video in the Path to Electronic Trading series, Bill Brodsky, The Path to Electronic Trading Part 1. Former CBOE Global Markets Chairman and CEO, Bill Brodsky's career in the financial industry spanned multiple decades and took him on a path from Wall Street to LaSalle Street. In a wide-ranging two-part interview, he gave JLN an eyewitness view of the evolution of the options business, the exchanges, and trading technology. Go to johnlothiannews.com to see this video. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Trump era ends on a sour note for a Wall Street power couple. The Donald Trump era is ending badly for the Wall Street power couple of Jeff Sprecher and Kelly Loeffler. First, the New York Stock Exchange, owned by Sprecher, Atlanta-based Intercontinental Exchange, flip-flopped twice on whether to list major Chinese companies, as the Trump administration has demanded. My comment, we will always have the ICE stock price, said with an accent reminiscent of the movie Casablanca. Here is a story from ABC News. Members of Trump cabinet discussing invoking 25th Amendment, sources say. There have been discussions among members of the Trump cabinet and allies of President Donald Trump about the 25th Amendment, which would be a vehicle for members of the cabinet to remove Trump from office. Multiple sources with direct knowledge of the situation tell ABC News. And my comment, and they should. Here's a story from the Irish Times. Pro-Brexit campaign Leave.eu relocates to Waterford, Ireland. Leave.eu, a pro-Brexit campaign bankrolled by UKIP backer Aaron Banks, has migrated its registered office for its website to Waterford so that it can retain its .eu internet address. The move, first reported by Euractiv website, comes as more than 80,000 .eu domain suffixes belonging to British users were recently suspended following Britain's withdrawal from the European Union. My comment, you gotta do what you gotta do. Here's a story from the New York Times. COVID-19 live updates. U.S. records its deadliest day with a total of nearly 4,000. As Americans were transfixed by the spectacle of the Capitol under siege, the coronavirus continued to sweep across the United States. Officials reported at least 3,963 new coronavirus deaths in the United States on Wednesday, a new single-day record, though delayed recording because of the holidays might have played a role. The daily death toll in New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and Pennsylvania also set records. In other news, there is still a pandemic raging, and yesterday's super spreader event in Washington, D.C. will only make it work. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Mick Mulvaney resigns after Capitol siege. I can't stay. Mick Mulvaney, former White House Chief of Staff and current acting Special Envoy to Northern Ireland, has announced he is stepping down. I called Secretary of State Mike Pompeo last night to let him know I was resigning from that. I can't do it. I can't stay, Mulvaney told CNBC in an interview Thursday. Here are Wednesday's top three most read stories from JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Financial Times, London unlikely to regain lost EU share trading, warns city figures. Second was Salons, Kelly Loeffler's new Facebook ad, darkened skin of Raphael Warnock, her black opponent, which doesn't matter much now because the Senate race is over and Loeffler lost. Third was Refinitiv's announcement, Refinitiv to launch production term Sonia benchmark on January 11th. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 8th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. President Donald Trump finally conceded his presidential election defeat to Joe Biden. Kind of. He did not mention Biden. Kelly Loeffler has conceded her senatorial defeat to Reverend Raphael Warnock. Loeffler also announced she would not be voting for the objection to Joe Biden's Electoral College tallying. Those two moves were the proper ones for Ms. Loeffler to make, which is very encouraging. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal is calling for President Trump to resign. This would be the best thing for the U.S. and President Trump. Otherwise, he will be impeached a second time, it all but appears. Meanwhile, the U.S. set another record for the number of deaths related to COVID-19 with 4,112, which exceeds the previous day's record that was inflated because of the weekend. And Bitcoin set a new record exceeding $40,000 for the first time. The Washington, D.C. police made a total of 68 arrests during the Capitol breach, and 56 officers were injured during the pro-Trump insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Additionally, one police officer has died as a result of his injuries, though there were reports this was not the case. The president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, during the gathering of the protesters at the National Mall, called for trial by combat as if the U.S. election were part of the Game of Thrones, Business Insider reported. Now that is just crazy. Bloomberg's Sarah Ponczak reported on Twitter that, quote, when the U.S. Capitol was being attacked, more than 29 million call options traded, the fourth most in history. FIA's Walt Lucan penned a commentary titled CEO Insight: China's Evolution is a Trend to Watch in 2021. He writes, increased international participation is good for all derivative market participants. The CBOE's David Howson was interviewed by Bloomberg's Market TV about plenty of opportunity to grow UK and EU platform. He talked about the shifting of EU-listed shares from London to Amsterdam equivalents and the future of London as a financial hub. He speaks with Bloomberg's Anna Edwards and Matt Miller. It turns out that 2020 was the hottest year on record. Reuters reported the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service said on Friday. So much for traveling to Amsterdam. Bloomberg reported Amsterdam wants to restrict tourists from its marijuana shops. Today we published the second part of our interview with Bill Brodsky, formerly of CBOE Global Markets. Thank you to Mr. Brodsky for participating and doing such a great job explaining the way electronic trading threatened the CBOE and changed the industry and how the CBOE responded. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. So far, we've had 104 donors and raised over $23,000 of our $300,000 goal. Thank you to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Markets Media has a 2021 Outlook Q&A with Eric Einfeld, Avensis Systems Chief Strategy Officer. You can read the interview with a link in today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com, Sarah Rudolph reported. Although 2021 has been unique in many ways so far, certain market trends are expected to continue from 2020, says Phil McIntosh, NASDAQ's chief economist. McIntosh, who is known for his ETF research, says one piece to expect continued growth is ETFs. He notes $507.4 billion was invested in U.S.-listed ETFs in 2020, citing data from ETF.com, a record that topped the prior high of $476.1 billion set in 2017. For more insights from McIntosh, see his weekly blog post at a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. As noted, we posted our second part of our interview with Bill Brodsky for the Path to Electronic Trading series. Former CBOE Global Markets Chairman and CEO Bill Brodsky's career in the financial industry spanned multiple decades and took him on a path from Wall Street to LaSalle Street. In a wide-ranging two-part interview, he gave JLN an eyewitness view of the evolution of the options business, the exchanges, and trading technology. Wall Street Journal has a live update: U.S. deaths set record as cases surge. The U.S. set a new single-day record for reported deaths associated with COVID-19, and newly reported infections hit their second highest day on record, surpassed only by a day on which the data backlogs artificially inflated the figure. The nation reported more than 4,000 deaths on Thursday, according to data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. It was the third record high day in a row and the first time the daily figure had surpassed 4,000. My comment: this was just as predicted and no crystal ball was even required. Here's a story from the New York Times. Wall Street Journal editorial urges Trump to resign to avoid impeachment, with the headline "Donald Trump's Final Days." The journal excoriated the president for an assault on the constitutional process of transferring power after an election. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, the American flagship of Rupert Murdoch's newspaper empire, denounced President Trump on Thursday for inciting a mob of his supporters to storm the U.S. Capitol and encourage Mr. Trump to resign from office to prevent a second impeachment by the Democratic-controlled House. "This is an incredible thing for the Journal to do and the right thing. I am glad to see their clear-headed editorial." Here's a story from The Trade. Hong Kong Exchange overtakes CME Group as the world's most valuable bourse. CME Group loses position of most valuable exchange group to Hong Kong Exchange as Hong Kong venue's long-serving CEO steps away. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing shares rose in the final weeks of 2020, establishing it as the world's largest bourse by market value. The news, first reported by the South China Morning Post, comes following tensions between Beijing and Washington, which could lead to secondary listings of U.S.-listed Chinese tech firms. Meanwhile, stock-connected activity has risen in light of quota restrictions as China looks to open its market up further to foreign investors. My comment: imagine what Hong Kong Exchange could do if it had a CEO. Here is a story from the New York Times. Quote, "Hold the line, patriots. New scenes from the Capitol riot." There were infamous white nationalists and noted conspiracy theorists who have spread dark visions of pedophile Satanists running the country. Others were more anonymous, people who had journeyed from Indiana and South Carolina to heed President Trump's call to show their support. One person, a West Virginia lawmaker, had only been elected to office in November. My comment: it was a who's who of Trump supporters, not anti-fascists as some would like to blame. Here's a story from Bloomberg. BBC has staff wear electronic buzzers to curb virus. State-backed media company has bolstered safety measures. UK has seen surge in coronavirus cases thanks to new variant. British Broadcasting Corporation staff will wear electronic devices to enforce social distancing in a sign of how workplaces are scurrying to contain a new, more infectious variant of the coronavirus. My comment, I know how these things work. It starts with a beep, and then you get shocked. Just ask any dog. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top read story on Thursday was JLN's video interview, Bill Brodsky, The Path to Electronic Trading, Part 1. Brodsky, the former CEO of CBOE Global Markets, knows how to tell a good story, or rather several. Second was Bloomberg's Trump era ends on a sour note for a Wall Street power couple about guess who, Jeff Sprecher and Kelly Loeffler. Third was members of Trump's cabinet discussing invoking 25th Amendment. Sources from ABC News. The Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is XRP. XRP, the digital asset developed by Ripple, has taken a pummeling this week amid its ongoing legal battles with the SEC. Last week, Coinbase and Bittrex announced they would delist XRP from their trading platforms. This week, Binance.us, Voyager Digital, and Genesis Trading made similar announcements. Grayscale Investments announced that the company would remove XRP from its large-cap cryptocurrency indices. According to data from Coinmetrics, the number of XRP whales has decreased significantly, falling by 8% over the past 2 weeks, as wallet holders with significant holdings of XRP sold off their shares. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site has 196,776,759 pages viewed with 25,052 pages. There have been 228,774 edits. This podcast has been sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.